let's look at this website a little bit more here. Scroll down to the bottom. So that's the name of the, so iBeam, that's the name of the company that wrote this little app. Very nice, very nice. Okay, keep going down. Okay, privacy. Let's see what happens if we hit the privacy button. Having imposed privacy policy. This one is actually relatively straightforward by comparison with many that you will be asked to read. How many of you has ever read a privacy policy on a website? You did. Like, have you got something to worry about, young man?
Curiosity.
Curiosity.
What's in them typically? Because I've clicked accept on so many of them.
You don't read them all. You read.
No.
You've read some of them. Well, good for you. I mean, I'm teasing you, but that's you're the first person I ever asked this question of in a group like this where anybody will acknowledge ever reading one of the privacy policies. Privacy policies always begin by saying, at Huffington Post, we appreciate your business. And then, you know, anything they don't want you to read is kind of buried much farther down here. Here's the way they can get stuff on you. You can give them some information and so on. We may collect information. There's no way I'm personally identifiable. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. How does that use the information? Okay, this is an important observation. Let's scroll down to here. How does Huffington Post use my personal information? The more we know about you, the better we're able to customize our website to suit your personal preferences and interests. Okay, that's an important point, right? Sometimes these sites are not collecting information on you because they want to sell it to some third party. Sometimes they just want to keep you coming back, and the more information they gather about what you're interested in, or people like you are interested in, or just in aggregate everybody who uses the site is interested in, the better job they can do. At no point does anyone other than Huffington Post have access to your personally identifiable information, never contacted by any party. The only exceptions are in response to a legal process, court order or subpoena. So somebody goes to Huffington Post and demands on with a due warrant, as we talked about with the Fourth Amendment last time, to say, I want to know who it was that clicked 7 times on One Story Street looking for information because, you know, the person who lived at One Story Street was attacked. That actually happened, by the way. There was I think it was Microsoft Maps app. Microsoft was actually subpoenaed for information about who had requested a particular map because a murder had taken place there. Tyler, do you want to say something?
I was just going to say there's been a question on the tool. They asked whether or not advertisers might have access to some of this data we're talking about. Through Huffington Post, and I think you're answering it right there.
Right. You have to read the fine print to be sure.
So in this case, no, it doesn't go to the advertiser, but it may in other cases.
Let's just read this. A legal process in response to law enforcement agency's request, or where we believe it is necessary to investigate, prevent, or take actions regarding illegal activity, suspected fraud, situations, and potential threats, violations of our terms of use, or as otherwise required by law. Now, I'm not a lawyer, okay? You've got a somewhat disadvantage. We're going to talk a lot of law here. But this is, item two gives them a lot more wiggle room than item one does, right? Item two, if I read it, it says, police station shows up and just asks for it, we'll give it to them. Anybody have a comment on that? I mean, that's what I read. The first one says if we get a subpoena from a court, they'll turn over the information. The second one seems to say in response to a law enforcement agency's request, whether the request was, went through a court or didn't. Seems to give them more latitude. And then three is the one that's always in there, but in some ways is the worst. It says, or three, in the event we are acquired by or merged with another company. So if Google buys them, Google can do, they're none of the reassurances you've been given about what, how private they're going to keep the data are on the table anymore. Okay, the acquiring company does not have to stand by what they say here. Okay, so there's all kinds of stuff. Let's go back to the top. Okay, and there should be all the way up to the top, because I want to sign up. Let's sign up. See? You know, we want to get, I don't know what you get by signing up for Huffington Post, but let's just do it. Make a screen name, Ken. Oh, thanks a lot. I'm sure, why not? BitSky, there we go. What do we have to tell them? Zip code. And email and password. Okay, so that's not, we don't have to give them too much information about ourselves, just a valid email address. So that's fine. We won't actually complete the transaction. But of course, you know, on a website where there's more fields to fill in there, there's more data that gets provided and falls under the clauses that we just talked about. So these were the questions you should ask, and I wanted to ask them this evening. Who knows what about whom? How do they know it? And how long will they remember it? Okay, so there's a whole set of questions that you can ask, and which legislatures are increasingly asking. Is okay, you want to save some information about what I'm doing because it'll help you provide better service to me. But you don't need to remember that I was looking at One Story Street and who gave money there. You don't need to remember that for 10 years. Any value that has to your business erodes after a while. So there should be data retention policies and data deletion policies. Let's do Facebook. Anybody? I think we asked this question. A lot of you have Facebook accounts. Suppose you want to ask what Facebook's privacy policy is. Let's just talk about Facebook for a second. Those of you who have Facebook, what kind of stuff do people put on Facebook about which they might have privacy worries? Yeah.
Shrunken pictures.
Pictures. And then they post pictures of themselves doing silly things. Something like that. Yeah.
Where they are, what they're doing, and when they're logged in.
Where they are, what they're doing, you know, when they're logged in. Who their friends are. That's maybe not, you know, this notion of friendship. Friends is a very kind of weird thing because, you know, a lot of the people who are my Facebook friends are not particularly friends in the old sense. And I'll bet the 100 million people who are Barack Obama's friends are not up close and personal with him either. Okay, so the friend doesn't really mean friend, but there's some, you know, association. So this is great. So if you want to know what the privacy of that information is, obviously people who can get to your Facebook profile can see it, but what is Facebook do with that, and who might they share it with, and all that sort of thing? You know, you'd probably go to the Facebook privacy policy, right? That's where you go. And you'd get all this usual stuff, we value your business and we love you and all the rest of that stuff at the beginning, and you read through this, and it goes on and on and on. And you get stuff about the EU safe harbor participation stuff. You actually don't find anything. It tells you about what you register. We know what you provide. You know what you provide when you know we collect your browser type and your IP address. That's not surprising. You can set up personal profiles. You know, da 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 da. You know, you set privacy options on who can see what, and so on. But this is actually not the question I'm interested in. You know, my question is, you know, who do they give this stuff to? And in this case, it's actually not in the privacy policy anywhere. It's in the terms of use. Okay, so go back. The Facebook homepage here. Oh, you set it up. Okay, so the terms of use, which are very different, and I'm going to just go to the paragraph here that is of interest. This is the terms of use. By posting user content to any part of the site, you automatically grant and you represent and warrant that you have the right to grant to the company an irrevocable, perpetual, which is different, non-exclusive, transferable. This right that you granted, we can transfer to anybody else that we want to. Fully paid, we don't owe you any money. Worldwide license, with the right to sublicense, so we can sublicense it. Even if we don't transfer it, we can, you know, license it. To use, copy, publicly perform, publicly display, reformat, translate, excerpt in whole or in part, and distribute such user content for any purpose, commercial, advertising, or otherwise, on or in connection with the site or the promotion thereof, to prepare derivative works of or incorporate into other works such user content, and to grant and authorize sublicenses of the foregoing. So this is interesting. It's still your stuff. The photograph you still own. The photograph you posted on Facebook, if it was yours to begin with, Facebook doesn't own it. They probably don't want to own it, because if it's pornographic, they don't want the cops coming after them. They want the cops coming after you. But you've given Facebook a perpetual license to do whatever they want with it. Whatever they want with it. Use it in any way they want. The only restraint on Facebook's use of it is that if they do something too stupid with your data, you'll all lose confidence in the company and you won't use it anymore. You won't go there anymore. So they have a business interest in protecting your privacy, but they've reserved all kinds of rights to themselves about what they can do. So this is the bookend for the Huffington, for the pretty spare Huffington Post information. If they want to give this to an advertiser, they have every right to do it. Whatever you put up on your Facebook site. Think about that next time you do your little Facebook cutiness.